And I want to share it with you tonight, and just give you a thought very quickly, and then we'll get to our prayer request and pray together. If you've got your Bible with you tonight, I want to read a couple verses, a few verses out of 2 Kings chapter number 19. 2 Kings chapter number 19. And Brother Tim and Sister Robin sung a song just a minute ago that said there was a king who got a letter from a mighty army without number, and he spread it out there for the Lord to get a view. I like that song, and that is taken right out of 2 Kings chapter number 19. If you want to stand, stretch your legs for a minute, you can. I'm just going to read verse 14 down through verse number 20, and then give you a thought or two, and then we'll move on with the prayer part of our service for this afternoon. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 14, "And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, Lord our God, I beseech thee, save us out of this hand, and all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Then Isaiah the son of Amoz sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, That which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, against the king of Assyria, I have heard. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. And I pray, God, that you'd bless these few thoughts as we deliver them to these people tonight. God, help us in your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. And amen, you can be seated. I really did plan to just kind of have some singing and move right into the prayer service. That was my intention. And in a moment, we'll get to that. But I began to think about what we're doing in this service tonight. And I really believe that the most important thing we'll do will take place in just a moment as we get to these prayer requests. A few weeks ago, we began to ask people to take their request and pin them down and put them in this box. And the things that are inside of here, I believe they're important. They're things that people had in their heart and the things that live in their mind and maybe things that they need help with. And as I begin to think about people writing down their prayers and us spreading out those prayers before God, I couldn't help but think of the story in 2 Kings chapter number 19. And this story can also be found in Isaiah chapter 37. But in these two chapters, we read about a trial that comes into the life of the king of Judah, Hezekiah. This trial was something that would not just affect Hezekiah personally, but it was something that would affect the nation as a whole. You see, Hezekiah was one of the good kings. There are very few good kings in the history of Judah, but Hezekiah was one of them, probably the best of the lot. And Hezekiah was a man that loved God. Hezekiah was a man that immediately when they made him king over Judah, he began to take the high places down. He began to open back up the doors of the house of God. Hezekiah was a man that loved God. But the Bible teaches us that in the 14th year of his reign, that Hezekiah began to experience difficulties. And these difficulties came in the form of a man by the name of Sennacherib, who was over the Assyrians. This man marches to the gates of Jerusalem with his great army, And it begins to make threats and it begins to make bribes to the children of Israel. He tries his very best to turn Jerusalem against Hezekiah. He tells them that if they do not submit to him, they will starve to death. In fact, if you read chapter number 18, you'll discover that he tells them that in order just to eat, they'll do some pretty gross things. You can read that yourself and discover what it was. But he says you'll starve to death in chapter 18 if you don't turn to me. And he says, I want you to know that every other nation and every other god that has stood before me, I have defeated them and I have destroyed them. And Hezekiah's God will be no different. I will destroy his God just like I've destroyed the other gods. You might as well throw up the white flag and come on out here. I'm taking Jerusalem one way or the other. He told them, like I've told my children a time or two, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. Y'all ever told your kids that? Maybe it's just me. But he said, you can either come out and surrender or I'll take you by force. But either way, Jerusalem is mine. Now you have to understand, Hezekiah is a king that loved God. Hezekiah is a man that did what few before him and few after him would be willing to do. And that was serve God. He was the man that opened the house, the doors of the house of the Lord. Tells me he went to church probably on a regular basis. He was the man that stood for God when everybody else in the community wasn't standing for God. And you would think, and our modern society would try to convince you that a man that does that would have no problems. That it would be easy sailing. He's serving God, so that means all his bills are going to be paid and all his enemies will be under his feet and everything will go good in your life. You know, that's what we're led to believe, is it not? But here Hezekiah is doing his best to serve God when nobody else will. And outside of the city of Jerusalem is 185,000 soldiers, 185,000 trials and tribulations, saying you give up or we're taking you by force. Now, I'll be honest with you, it's hard sometimes to understand why when we're living for God, we're serving God, we're paying our tithes, we're coming to church, we're witnessing the people we come in contact with. It's hard to understand why trials and tribulations come during those times. But now here's Hezekiah, and the enemy says, give up. In fact, the enemy is so determined that Hezekiah give up, they send him a letter. And the letter says, just to let you know, we're still out here. And we've still got plans to take Jerusalem. And the Bible says that Hezekiah does something pretty interesting. Hezekiah goes to the house of God and he takes that letter. It's probably in a scroll form. And he begins to unroll that scroll there in the house of God. And he says, God, I want you to lean down from heaven and see what the Assyrians have said about you and about your people. And Hezekiah prayed. Probably two of the most famous prayers in all the Word of God come from this same individual. Hezekiah would pray in chapter 19. And we'll see in just a moment what he'll do. And he'll grow confidence from this. And he'll have another trial come up. And he'll pray one more time and God will do something amazing again. But I want you to notice that when Hezekiah goes to the house of God and he lays the prayers out, and that's what we'll do in just a minute. We'll read these prayers and then I'll lay them on this altar. We'll lay them out before the Lord. And by doing that, Hezekiah did three things. I want to show them to you. fast. I want you to see this, number one, by laying his prayers out. I'm talking tonight about Hezekiah's prayer. Number one, by laying that prayer out, Hezekiah included the Lord. Hezekiah included the Lord. Look at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. You see, the threat of the Assyrians does not begin in chapter 19. I mentioned just a moment ago, it actually begins in chapter 18. And for a chapter and a half, Hezekiah is worrying and he is fretting and he is trying to figure out how he is going to be able to deal with this situation that has arose in his life. In fact, when you open chapter 19, you find Hezekiah sitting in probably ashes. He's ripped his clothes. He has put on sackcloth. And he is mourning himself because he does not know what he's going to do about this tribulation that he's dealing with. He is desperate and he is in despair and he is broken and he does not know quite what he's going to do and how he's going to get out of this one. In verse 4, his friends come to him in chapter 4 and they say, Hezekiah, why don't you talk to God about this? Maybe Hezekiah, God will hear what they're saying and God will help you. But you know, Hezekiah does what most of us try to do when something comes up in our life. Hezekiah tries to fix it himself before Hezekiah takes it to God. Hezekiah spends a chapter and a half trying to figure this out on his own. He goes to the Assyrians and he says, hey, could you do me a favor? When you're making your threats, could you at least not do it in the tongue of in the Hebrew tongue, so all these people can understand you? I understand Assyrian. If you just talk to me, we'll work this thing out. But they don't. He mourns. He tears his clothes. He probably weeps. He frets. He probably paces. He's worried, you see. And for some reason, Hezekiah does not know what he's going to do. He is fretting. He is probably worried. He says, God, this is what they've said. And finally, he takes this thing to God. Finally, it seems as though at the last resort, he takes this thing to God. And he says, God, this is what they've said. I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I need you to do something with it. You know what Hezekiah was doing? He was including God in his situation. And you know what we do when we go to God in prayer? We are including him in whatever it is that we're dealing with. I believe that God expects for you and me to do what we can. But I believe there's sometimes we need to just get real with ourselves and get God involved in whatever it is that we're dealing with.
Amen.
You know, I wonder sometimes if the Lord doesn't help us quicker because we don't take things to him quicker.
Amen.
I wonder sometimes if God isn't just sitting there waiting. Waiting on you and waiting on me to include him in what we're dealing with. You say, I wonder why God hasn't helped me with this. Well, have you asked him to? I mean, really, have you asked him to help you? You know, the very moment that Hezekiah went to the house of God and spread that thing out and said, God, here it is. I need your help. It was the very moment that God showed up and began to help. You see, prayer is you and I including God in our life.
Amen.
It's not just a matter of when I need something. You know, we won't include God when we need something. But I believe that prayer is our method by which we include God into every day of our life.
Amen.
It doesn't matter if it's something you're dealing with that's good, something you're dealing with that's bad, if you're happy, if you're sad, whatever it is, prayer includes God in your life. Hezekiah included the Lord. Number two, Hezekiah was incapable without the Lord. Verse 16, 17, and 18, Hezekiah says, Lord, bow down your ear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent me to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. For they were no gods but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. When Hezekiah spreads that letter out before the Lord, he not only wants to invite God into his situation, he wants to show God, he wants to let God know that he is incapable of handling this thing on his own. In a moment of honesty, Hezekiah says, God, this is what they've said, and God, I can't deal with this. He spent time trying to figure out, and eventually he comes to himself and says, God, I can't. God, they have destroyed every other nation that stood before them, and they had. Assyria was in the process of taking over the world. Jerusalem was just the next stop. God, they have destroyed every other nation. God, they're going to destroy this one. And I can't fix it, God. I said just a second ago, I really believe that God expects you and I to do for ourselves what we can do for ourselves. Understand what I'm saying. God's not going to do for you what you can do for you. Don't pray about getting a job and then not go out and put in applications. God will provide the job. You provide the applications. Amen. Amen. Don't tell God how hungry you are and not work. You know, it just, you know, we got to do what we can do. Amen. We can pray, God, save my family member, but he'll want you to witness to him. Does it make sense? God's not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. But there are some things that we can't do for ourselves. And we have to take those things to God and say, God, this is something I can't handle. This is something I am incapable of doing. The Apostle Paul, probably in my opinion, one of the most successful Christians. Would you agree with me in the New Testament? A successful Christian. He tells us the secret of his success in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, he said, the secret to my success is him. Hezekiah introduced the Lord. He includes the Lord. He was incapable without the Lord. And then last of all, Hezekiah introduced the Lord. Verse 19, now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save us out of this hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. In chapter 18, he's facing a battle he can't win. In the beginning of 19, he's mourning because the enemy is too great for him. But in verse 19, he introduces a new ingredient into the situation that had not been added into the mix previously. And the new thing that he introduced to the situation was God. When life is more than you can handle, try adding God to it. Through the method of prayer. David testified of the power of adding God to the mix. David said in Psalms 46 verse 1. He said, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. He said, therefore will we not fear though the earth be removed. And though the mountains be carried away in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Selah. He said, if the very mountains were to move, he said, it wouldn't faze me. He said, because God is my refuge and strength. The Assyrians told Hezekiah they would starve to death if they didn't surrender. But when Hezekiah introduced God, God said, you'll have enough food left over this year to eat on for another 3 years. The Assyrians said, we've defeated every other god that stood before us. But when Hezekiah introduced God into the situation, God said, they've never met anybody like me before. Amen. Hezekiah said, God, there's a 185,000 of them, and I can't defeat them. But by introducing God into the mix, when he woke up the next morning and he peeked over the wall, there was 185,000 dead soldiers laying outside the city of Jerusalem. Someone once wisely said, when you come to the point you discover all you have left is God, you'll discover you've had all you needed the entire time. Amen. I thought I'd let a few prayer warriors of the past testify about prayer tonight. John Wesley once said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, said, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer in it than a fine oration of great length. Dr. Arthur Pink said, prayer is not so much an act as it is an attitude of dependency upon God. Charles Finney once said, nothing tends to cement the hearts of Christians more than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's hearts in prayer. Billy Graham once said, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get them down on their knees. The Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think there's something powerful about prayer, don't you? I don't know. There's been some times in my life where I've done what Hezekiah has done. You may think me foolish, but there's been times, Brother Tim, that I've went into my little study at home and I've taken my bills and laid them out there in the carpet and said, God, I can't this month. And God, this is how much I owe the water company, and this is how much I owe the electrical company, and God, this is how much my car... I laid it out there. You see what I'm saying? And I think that by laying it out there before God, we are including Him. We are showing Him how incapable we are. We are introducing Him into the situation. And by doing those three things, great things happen. Amen. Hezekiah saw God move in this troublesome time. A few chapters later, Hezekiah will grow sick. Prophet Isaiah will show up and say, hey, big boy, I just got word from God. Bad news. Get your affairs in order. You're dying. You're going to die. And Hezekiah will lay in his bed and he'll turn his face to the wall and he'll say, God, you've done it before. I need you to do it again. And he'll pray. And God will add, 15 years to his life. I believe if Hezekiah could testify to us tonight, he'd say prayer works.
Amen.
He'd say, including, show him you're incapable, introduce him into your situation. Mal, you can stop the recording at this point. What we'll do, I guess,